I trust you have your Bible. 2 Kings, please, tonight, chapter 22. 2 Kings, chapter 22. I am still remembering Sunday. What a great day we had. And the gentlemen that were with us, how God worked and blessed. I still marvel that they are so different, and yet God puts things together. And just a great, beautiful service Sunday mornings. I don't know about the guy who spoke Sunday night, but Sunday school and AM service was good. So, amen. Good to see you tonight. You're looking well. All right. I entitled the message tonight, Revival, When They Found the Bible. 2 Kings chapter number 22, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Anybody 8 years old here? 8-year-olds? One. How many of we got 8 years old that don't lie? All right. None of you girls are 8 years old? Nobody? Anybody 7? Wake up, Chloe. What are you?
6.
Oh, okay. 6. Can you imagine being the queen of a country? You had to tell everybody what to do? Some girls are like that. All right. He was 8 years old and began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bosketh. By the way, I pronounce those exactly right. I dare you to challenge that one. Amen. Says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. That tells me something. The house of God had been run down. It says, unto the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, have delivered into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ahiah a servant of the king's, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have tonight to hold in our hands the precious Word of God. Lord, we marvel at how you have brought it into being, how you've preserved it down through the years, how you've brought it from one generation to another. And Lord, that you have made it understandable to us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that opens and illuminates this, your holy word. We need him tonight to move upon us in Christ's name. Amen. Revivals are nothing new. As long as there have been people serving the Lord, people have been backsliding and then experiencing revival. This particular passage records one of the greatest revivals in the Old Testament. The nation of Israel had drifted far away from the Lord. They had given themselves over to idolatry and to the worship of vile heathen gods. They were living in deep sin, and they had neglected the God of their fathers. They were in spiritual darkness, and the danger of God's judgment was hovering upon them. They stood in the need of genuine revival. They needed something for their soul. God raised up a godly king named Josiah. His passion for the Lord caused him to lead the nation back to the path of righteousness. And under his leadership, this kingdom experienced tremendous revival. Our purpose tonight in looking at this is to examine what happened that might give us insight to what is needed today. You and I can always make application from the Word of God. Amen. Well, we notice first of all, and I'll put it under this heading, genuine revival involves rededication. These verses, I believe, relate to us a remarkable story. The temple of God, we find, had been neglected. It had become run down, had fallen to a state of bad disrepair. It needed help. It seems also that the Word of God had been neglected and ignored for years. In fact, the Word of God, as we look here, seems to have been lost in all the disorganization of the temple. When this word, this law, if you please, was rediscovered and read, the priest and the king realized they were guilty of transgressing the law of the Lord. That is needed, that we might understand who we are. They also understood that God's anger was stirred up because of the sins they and their nation had committed. Again, look with me at verse number 13. I got covered up, I think. Verse number 13 says, "Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us." What a horrible state of affairs. We find that when Josiah saw himself and his nation in the light of the Word of God, he saw how far they had drifted. He understood that they needed to make things right with God. And the Word of God convicted his heart and challenged him to seek after the Lord. And I believe he rededicated himself to keeping the commands of God. One of the defining marks of any revival in history is the mark of a renewed interest in and devotion to the Word of God. It is sad, but it is true, the Word of God is often a neglected book. Many times God's people bring it to church, leave it on their dashboard to pick it up when they come back in the church the next day. People like us who claim to be Bible-believing fundamentalists often defend the character and the accuracy of our Bibles, and yet we're guilty of neglecting that very Word that we have. We can make some bold statements about the Bible. We declare it to be the very Word of God. It is, amen? We claim that it's without error. Yes, it certainly is. We hold it up as the final authority in all manners, especially spiritual manners, and it is. We say it's the standard by which all men should live, and it is. While all this is true and is right, we still miss the mark when it comes to this blessed book, the Word of God, the Bible. It's not enough to make to own a Bible or even to make accurate claims regarding the Bible, for we also need to understand he owns the book should be owned by the book. We say we believe in the book, but do we believe it? We can say that we, do we really believe it? We can also say it's a standard for living, but do we live it? We hold our Bibles aloft and we cry out, the Bible is the Word of God. But do our lives reflect that which our words say? The Bible is a plumb line. It's the final word. It's the standard of our faith. It's the standard of our practice. Everything we see and do, everything that we say and do, listen, it's got to be laid alongside the Word of God. Everything that we say we believe must be laid aside the Word of God. The Bible is the final authority and must be honored as such. Too often we have our own ideas and do not run it alongside the Word of God. It is the final authority. It tells us what we are to believe. It tells us how we're to worship. It tells us how we're to live and how we're to conduct ourselves, both in and out of church. It teaches us how to walk and how to talk. It reveals how we ought to dress. It teaches everything we need to know about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about salvation, about heaven and hell, and about everything having to do with this life and with living. Paul wrote this under inspiration. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It doesn't say thoroughly, it says truly. And that is something that's gone through our lives. We should love the book, and we should live the book. The psalmist in chapter 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. He says, converting the soul. The testimony is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. If we're going to see real, genuine revival, I believe we look here at this chapter and we see what took place in the days of Josiah. And we must say there has to be a return to the Word of God as the final authority. It's going to revolve around the Word of God as God's people rededicate themselves to keeping and honoring its words. How can we say that we draw nigh to God but do not listen to Him? How can we say that we are walking with the Lord and we're walking rightly with the Lord and yet have not heard Him speak to our hearts? Genuine revival also, I believe, involves repentance. We get to chapter number 23. You notice the first three verses. Notice what it says. And the king sat, and they gathered him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. And the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes with all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And I love what it says in the next phrase, and all the people stood to the covenant. What's taking place? There's a genuine repentance from what they had been and going towards the marvelous words of God. Repentance, we don't hear the word used a lot. Our dictionary defines it as deep sorrow or contrition over past sin. But I believe the Bible is somewhat expanded of that. And it means to be sorry, but in the New Testament, it means to change one's mind. In other words, it refers to a change of mind that results in a change of action. True repentance, when it occurs, an individual recognizes the fact that they have done something wrong. They feel sorry for their sin. They experience a change of mind about their sin, and they head out in a new direction. It's from one way to the opposite way. It's not just being sorry you did something or being sorry that you were caught doing something. It means we're sorry enough over what we have done that we stopped doing it. Repentance means that we're no longer walking away from God, following our own path, but we're walking towards God, following His path. I believe we're fooling ourselves. We think we can hold on to our ways and still have the power, the presence, and the blessings of God. There must be repentance before and there can be restoration, revival. Think about the prodigal son back in Luke chapter 15. He never made things right with the father until first he got sight of his own sins and got honest about it. When we come clean, we can be made clean. And you and I tonight, when we come to the Word of God, one of the things it's going to show us is we're not as good as we think. And it reveals to us our sin. And what happens then is we call upon a holy God to forgive us and we want to change directions. So genuine revival, not only repentance, but I believe also a reformation, if you please. When they renewed their covenant with the Lord and repented of their sins, we find the door was open to some major changes in Israel. Are you in chapter 23? Notice verse number 4. Notice what it says. It says, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. Did you get that? Heathen God. And for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and the places around about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Going on to verse number 7, he says, and he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings for the grove. What happened? He cleansed the temple. He cleansed the precincts round about. It had become a place of idol worship and gross sin of every description. And they removed everything from the house of the Lord that was not supposed to be there. I'll not read the next several verses, but from verse number 8 and verse number 20, we find that they destroyed and defiled all the heathen temples and the altars, the places where there are human sacrifices that had been offered, the places where gross sexual worship had occurred, the high places and all the places where the people had gone to sin against the Lord God to serve the idols, they were torn down and defiled. Verse number 24, he speaks of these people in the kingdom who practiced the occult were put away as well. And so what were they doing? A big house cleaning. Why did that take place? Because they found the Word of God. It revealed to them their sin. They repented of their sin. And when that took place, they got rid of the things that were not right. Because real repentance means getting rid of some things that are not right. It was a total purge of evil from the whole land. And all this came about because they read the Word of God, recognized their sinful ways, and repented of their sins. Reformation always follows genuine repentance. I don't believe tonight we're in a position to reform our nation. We don't have the possess the power to effect change on that level particularly, but I wish we could. It's not necessarily our business to change other churches around us who have and are abandoning the ways of the Lord. I wish we could. We're not in a position to change all sorts of things that we'd like to, but what we can do is set the house in order that God has given us. There, I wish we would. How we need to note that God wants us to read the Word of God, see who we are, turn from that, and then let God help us to rebuild some things in our lives. Marvelous. We can examine our own lives. We can make sure that anything displeasing to the Lord is removed. We have power to govern a church to see that it does not drift into worldly compromise. We can close the door on evil in this place. We can maintain our integrity by taking a stand on the Word of God for the things of God against the things of the world. We can be what God would have us to be. We have the power to change anything in our church that would prevent us from enjoying the blessings and the power of God. Do you realize tonight no one can change this church but us as we submit ourselves to God? Whether we change it for good or evil, we're the ones who will make that decision. And here's what we need to know. When genuine revival comes, there'll be a clear move towards holiness and godly living. When revival comes, the way we live our lives will change and the way we worship will change. Well, revival will bring about a reformation in our lives and in our church. There's a principle that we must not miss. It's possible to believe right, to behave right, and still not be right. Let me repeat that. It's possible to believe right, to behave right, and still not be right. I hope you understand where we come from. When revival comes, individuals and churches will be changed. And how we need God's work in our hearts and lives. I believe genuine revival also involves something else. If you go down to verse number 21 of chapter 23, and we have three verses here that's interesting. It says, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as is written in the book of the covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of the king Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. What do we find? We find for years and years they had not stopped to do the Passover. What's important about Passover? Well, it was a way to remember. It was a way for them to have brought before their minds once again how God delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. Among the things that Josiah discovered when he read the Word of God was that they should have a Passover feast every year. They would have this time of remembrance to commemorate God's deliverance of Israel from the bondage of Israel. They'd not kept it for years. They had been guilty of forgetting the deliverance and their redemption. Far too often we know we're saved, but we don't really stop and remember the beauty and the marvel of it. That God would reach down and touch a sinner like us and draw us unto His side. One of the reasons Israel had fallen to idolatry, I believe, is because they'd forgotten who they were, what was expected of them, and who their Redeemer was. When they got their eyes off of God, they lost their passion for Him. Their love dimmed. They wandered off into sin. So Josiah calls them back to God again. He calls them to remember all the things and their fathers had forgotten. When revival comes, there will be a keen awareness among the people of God regarding who they are and what they have in Jesus. There will be a genuine burning passion within the heart of the revived saint as they remember what they were, where they were headed, and what Jesus did for them when He saved them by His grace. When we remember and walk in the light of what we have and who we are in Jesus, it will fill our hearts and with, I believe, profound love for Him. It'll fill our churches with worship and praise. It will fill us with excitement about the things of God. There'll be a passion to love the One who gave everything to deliver us from our sins. When we remember, we'll have revival. If there's a purpose for us to come together as a church, it is this one thing, that we might be reminded of who God is and how great He is. And as we remember that our hearts might be stirred toward Him and our love for Him might grow. Somebody says, well, I've heard that before. But God says, remember, we are prone to forget. How many have started to go to some room in the house to get something and you went through the doorway and you forgot? By the way, do you know they did a study on that? Something about going through a doorway causes you to forget. There's been a lot of doors in my life. But God wants us to remember. If there was ever a church that was active in serving the Lord, it was a church at Ephesus. They were busy. God commended them for that. They had all the outward appearances of being a church that was on fire. You read about it in Revelation chapter 2. Yet Jesus came and told them, He knew the real truth about them. They weren't on fire for the Lord. They'd grown cold in their love for Him. Their problem is made clear by the first thing Jesus told them to do. He said, remember, therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. You can remember that with three words. Remember from where you've fallen, repent, and do the first works other words, repeat what you used to do. Or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. We need to remember. When we remember who we are and what we have, we cannot help but be in love with Jesus Christ. In spite of what you and I think is real revival, I believe it's all about God's people falling in love with God all over again. We need to remember. I believe Josiah and Israel did some very remarkable things. I'll just sum it up with these three thoughts. They recognized their sin. How'd they do that? They had the Word of God, particularly the law of God. They repented of their sins and they eliminated their sinful practices. They saw what was wrong and they repented. In other words, they turned away from it and they attacked the causes of their sins, and then they sought to rebuild with that which was right, that they might remember and they would have that feast from then on out. Sad to say, that did not take place. But how often in our lives do we grow cold, we grow indifferent? What's the need? To see who we are and how much we need Him. And then when we see that He is the one who can meet all of our need and do all that's needed in our lives, it fills us with love. When we fall in love with God, our lives change. When we're in love with God, if there's something that needs to be done, nobody has to stand in the pulpit and harp on it. There's people who jump up and say, "Hey, I'm ready to go." We have our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Life, I believe, is at its zenith. God wants us to remember some things. Consider Josiah. Starts as a king at 8 years old. I'm not sure how far along he was in his life when all this began to transpire. But when the Word of God came to his heart, things began to change. And it begins with us. We let the Word of God really enter our soul. Amen? And become a part of it. I realize tonight that the Word of God can be difficult to read. I realize tonight that everything you read, you're not going to remember or even understand. But little by little, in every way, let God just begin to work those things. It takes a long time. But every day that something a little bit more is added, we have a little bit more love for God. What's that do? It changes our lives, doesn't it? Amen? Praise God for that.